Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam, how are you guys? It's Allie here, just stopping by to say hello. Hope y'all are enjoying your summers, and especially, I hope you all are loving summer edition of Road Trippin'. Today's episode, I must say, from the Red Cup Lounge, it's a good one. But I'm here to prepare you a little bit for it, as Richard, Alex, and Geeter, they're joined by Big Shot Bob, slash Rob, Robert Horry, for a very in-depth, wild, and fun look into his experiences during his time in the NBA, all the while winning his 7 NBA titles, like a champ, no big deal. But what do some of those experiences entail? Well, does anyone remember when he threw the towel at Danny Ainge? If you don't, you soon will, as he doesn't hold back on anything. But hey, that's exactly how we love to do things on this platform, right? Unfiltered, raw, real? Well, I'm here to tell you that you all are in for a real treat today. Just a heads up though, episode 35, it's a bit explicit. Don't say we didn't warn you, but nonetheless, it's a pod that we really think you'll enjoy. So Richard, Alex, Geeter, Big Shot, guys, it's all yours.
Another episode of Summer Road Tripping. I'm your host, Richard Jefferson. To my right, Chris McGee, Geeter. We call him Geeter. Say what's up. To my left, we have Alex Curry. We call her Alex Curry.
AC.
And, oh my God, special guest in the Red Cup Lounge, right? None other than Big Shot Rob, Robert Horry. Say what's up.
What's up, man? Red Cup, don't you supposed to have something in your Red Cup to drink?
Yeah, I have. We call it the Red Cup Lounge. I have the Whispering Angel. Geeter has some kind of nerdy craft beer.
RJ, it's called Pliny the Elder from Northern California, Russian River Brew Company. It's one of the best beers in the world.
But I feel like it's very, very similar to saying.
I was just handing
don't
something.
At me. Don't have the best beers
he's
in the world.
Whispering Angel.
Okay, he's got his first taste of Whispering Angel.
Nice
smooth.
Shot,
it's a little very smooth.
Nice little summer rosé. Yeah. Nothing too harsh. No, hey, sure. Big Shot, man. First, let me first say thank you from a player to a player. Thank you. This is something that I've been working on, doing this podcast, putting this out there. So the fact that you come out to support, I know you came from – where'd you come from?
Glendale.
Yeah, so for people that aren't familiar with Glendale, when – you live in Hermosa Beach and people tell you, hey, I'm going to be in L.A. I'd love to catch up. And it's like, where are you going to be? They're like, I'm going to be in Glendale. You are not anywhere near me. That's like if you're coming from
city.
If you're coming from New York and you're saying I'm going to be on the West Coast and you stop in Arizona.
Yeah.
We're nowhere near each other. So I do appreciate you stopping by, man, and making the drive.
The stress getting him in here because the Waze app failed him. I was very stressed on the corner.
He was stressed.
Geeter was having a couple of panic standing
on the
corner.
I was on the phone with him for like 17 minutes. He wasn't stressed at all.
No.
Because Big Shot doesn't get stressed out.
Well,
he's got 7 rings. He's 7-0.
We're gonna get into his resume. We're gonna get into his resume.
But I was Panic Peter.
But he was definitely Peter Panic over here.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, like, so we're up at our Epicados. And we're trying, getting some beer because he was asking me, he's like, hey, is it all right if I drink beer? And I'm like, Geeter, we always drink when we record road tripping. That's the best. Even during the season, no matter what, we always drink. So that's what I wasn't telling you in there. I was like, dude, I'll save it for the podcast. But yeah, don't ever fucking ask me again if you can drink
your
while we
version
record.
Of the story. I said, are we drinking? Like, should I bring
that's
my
the
specialty
same thing.
Beer?
That's the same thing.
Are we getting Rob his parting gift? That's what I was saying. Oh, are yeah. we picking up sandwiches? And you weren't answering the phone, because, and it bothered me.
Well, anyway, so I had the beer. He's like, yo, why don't you take the beer and go downstairs just in case he gets here early? And I was like, okay, fine. I'll go. You can get the sandwiches. But just know, he was very, very concerned.
He was very concerned.
Very concerned.
Back to Glendale, though.
That's the love.
Yeah, back to Glendale.
Rob used to come and do the show. So Rob and I worked together.
Okay.
Covering Laker games for the last five seasons.
Do you want to give us your awards and shit?
Yeah, sure. We won an Emmy for best sports show in L.A. a couple years ago. We're nominated again. No big deal.
That's back when we used to do good cop, bad cop.
Yeah,
know.
We got a couple tellies.
What is a telly?
I don't know. Alex has
we
three,
got
but what
got
are
three
they?
Tellies.
Anyway?
She's got three tellies.
It's another like national award that's recognized nationally. It's just not a show for it.
Never heard
so
of
it's
it.
The same kind of thing. There's a silver telly and a bronze telly, but the silver is higher.
Okay.
And then the bronze one looks gold, so like when
is
you have
it,
them,
is it like winning a Razzie?
No. It's like winning an Emmy.
Yo, show her some respect.
I'm just kidding.
Mom has a telly too.
Broski.
Hey, I'm just kidding.
So RJ, he and Alex, he, the first year, you know, he would come into town from Houston where he lives.
Yeah.
And he would stay close to the facility, mm-hmm. right next to my house. You know, I live here in town. And he would come down. We'd hang out all the time. We'd go to dinners. I took him on his first beach jog.
What?
Oh, he had never
soft
jogged
sand?
On the beach. Soft sand.
Whoa.
We looked like
hey, I'm from Alabama. We don't do all
no,
that.
No, I'm saying that's tough. I don't even do soft sand. I grew up here.
Did you ever see Rocky III with yes. Apollo and Rocky when they
yes.
hug
did you guys
in
have the
water?
Short shorts?
Yes, yeah. And we had that moment.
The bro tanks?
Now, the funny part is they actually wanted to cover us for a show, but unfortunately – I got moved to ship to Glendale.
Then he got shipped to Glendale. We don't hang it. Oh, but he used to come, and he would leave his shoes in my living room, and then he would go down to the beach with me, and my little Luca, she was six. At the
yeah.
time, she's two.
Yeah.
And she's like, Big Shoes. She thought his name was Big Shoes instead of Big Shoes. So my daughters, Millie and Luca, still call him Big Shoes.
Big Shoes.
Big Shoes.
But we don't hang no more because he's at Glendale.
Glendale. God, that you know what? I try and tell people, like, the true test of how much you care about someone is where you choose to live around them. Because I know if my wife said, babe, I really think we should go to Glendale, I'm going to miss her. I'm really going to miss her legitimately. Oh. Like, I'm just going to say this, like, and we'll go to court because I don't want little Richard's standard of living to go down with Richard and Phoenix. So, like, I have a lot of respect for the fact that you are committed to being out in Glendale.
Hey, it was something that just kind of fell in my lap. If it was my choice, I would either be in Pasadena,
okay.
which is right next
which
door.
Which is still the Valley.
Yeah, it's still the Valley, but I like Pasadena. I just like feeling that, hey, if I want to go to the Rose Bowl,
mm-hmm. right
it's
there.
Right next door. You know, that's, mm-hmm. you know.
Staples.
Staples, yeah. But, you know, the funny part is, we go to downtown a lot.
Yeah.
And it's only 15 minutes from Glendale to get downtown yeah. L.A. So
right over the hill.
It's actually cool.
Yeah.
It's just to get here,
oh, yeah.
it's a different story. Now, I can get to downtown quicker than you can get to downtown.
Oh, 100%.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, we opened up a studio, another yoga studio, Soho Yoga. Some of you people have heard of it. No one cares. We opened up another one downtown, and I've only been there like twice because I'm just like,
see,
I know
now I got a place yeah. to go to do my
I know
yoga.
I own the joint.
Yeah, that's the one you got to go check out.
Yeah, yes. That's the one I need to go check out.
Yeah.
Man. I'm going to be honest, though. I grew up here, like born yeah. and raised here. I did not know where the Valley was until I got my license at 16. I didn't go east. I didn't even go east of PCH. I didn't go east of Sepulveda.
Oh,
like when you live by the beach, like this is the bubble that you stay in.
Oh,
and
I love the
in.
Bubble. I moved to Santa Monica. So I lived in San Diego for like 7 years, lived in Encinitas, Rancho Santa Fe. And so I moved up to Santa Monica because I was afraid of the bubble. I was like, let me just see what the other. I hated it. Hated it. And then I came to the bubble. But Bob, big shot, Rob.
Did Shaq make a big shot, Bob?
No. Yeah.
No.
He was like, no, I got it when I came to the
Because that
was
a big shot, Rob, but he called you Bob.
No, actually.
What do you
prefer? He takes credit.
No. Actually, it was Craig Kilborn that called me Bob.
So I no BS,
uh-huh.
I knew you as Big Shot Bob.
Yeah.
I've heard multiple people, like, the name that I knew was not Big Shot Rob, it was Big Shot Bob, because it just
sounds better.
Yeah, no, sounds better.
It sounds better, but the funny story is Craig Kilborn, it was during the finals We were playing
which
Orlando.
One? Which of the seven?
Yeah, can you be more specific?
We were playing Orlando in 95, and I hit that shot to beat – well, it wasn't during the finals. It was during the Western Conference Finals when I hit a shot to beat San Antonio. And Craig Kilborn said, big shot, Bob. You know, he hit a big shot. And my mom was like, I don't like him calling you Bob. And so I actually saw him. I was like, yo, my mom don't want you to call me Bob. He's like, what? So he actually goes on TV the next time and says, yo, Big Shot Bob, oh, I'm sorry, whose mom don't want me to call him Bob, so I call him Rob. And it was like, my mom was like, did you actually tell him? I said, you told me to tell him.
Classic but, Shaq, you know, to credit.
Because my dad, awesome. Bob, you know, when you get divorced and you don't want your child to be
oh, it sucks. Little Richard stuck.
Little Richard stuck.
So my pops is Big Rich, right? Mm-hmm. So ever since I was a little bitty kid, I was always known as Little Richard, right? Like that was my name. And so like for me, like my little guy is 2.5. So I was just, I couldn't wait to have a Little Richard, right? I couldn't wait to have a Little Richard. Now Big Rich is still roaming around. Never called him dad in my life. That's not really his role. He's Big Rich.
Here.
Yeah, Big
he's
Rich is always here. Yeah, Big mm-hmm. Rich is always here, but it's Big Rich, and I don't know what I am. And then there's Little Richard now. And so the Little Richard thing just kills me. But yeah, I understand how the names could get a little confusing.
Parents
so.
Don't like you sometimes. If they got the divorce, it's like, I don't want nothing to remind you of your father. You know?
My pops never called me Junior.
My mom was always like, you have this wonderful name, Christopher Joseph McGee. Everyone calls you Geeter.
Yeah. Oh, Geeter's a great name.
That's what I told her.
How about this? I didn't know your name until after knowing you for like 5 or 6 years. I was like, you would have told me Chris, would have never pulled it out of a lineup.
True story.
Leiner said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is probably 2006, 2007. I'm 3 years into the friendship with Luke. I'm in Denver for a volleyball tournament. Yeah. I'm coaching. And I got 3 other coaches with me, and we're getting tickets from Luke. And all of a sudden, the call comes in.
Luke Walton.
We're like on the way to the arena. He's like, hey, man, so what's your full name? Because like, he's got to leave tickets for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm like, Luke, dude, Chris McGee. What, are you serious?
I would have thought Chris Geeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have never get that. So we, Bob, man, I'm going to call you Bob.
That's fine.
What do you prefer? Like, what are the nicknames you prefer?
I don't care.
Bob,
you know, I call him Big Shot on air.
Big Shot's fine.
Yeah, you know. Big Shot, because he's humble, okay. So he prefers the name Big Shot.
I mean, I work with Big Game James and Big Shot. Are there two better nicknames? Like,
no,
you're God in Big Games, and you hit Big Shots.
Well, but the best thing about those two nicknames is that no one else has them. Like, you can have like there's other people that have had like Sugar Ray and like people that have kind of had similar nicknames, mm-hmm. right? Like Superman, like Shaq, and then Dwight Howard stole it. You know, it's like, so you can have like, or you can go Kobe and just kind of name yourself, yeah. You know, give yourself your own nickname. But, you know, Big Shot Bob is one that's I've never heard before from mm-hmm. anywhere, at any time. And Big Game James. That's an all time.
Man, when you go triple double in a game 7 for the first and only triple double of your career, you are Big Game.
Yeah, Big Game. But we're going to get down to basketball. I know people don't give a shit about all the other stuff that we've been talking about.
We just wasted 17 minutes.
But
that's great.
You've said some really outlandish shit in the last
Not just said, worn some what? Pretty outrageous stuff.
Oh, and worn.
Well.
Yeah. I saw the tacos, the taco jacket.
The taco suit?
Yo, that thing's fly.
Go ahead.
It was funny because someone texted me like, are those watermelons on your jacket? Like, stop being racist.
There's no damn watermelons
on my jacket. It's tacos. Do you not see the thing says, I am representing Taco Bell today? If the road team wins, you know, gets a win, the whole country gets tacos.
And I apologize.
And so everybody was like,
anything for money, I'm okay with. So that's fine. The taco jacket is fine.
Yeah, it was a nice payday for me. They told me I can't tell anybody how much I got paid, but shit. It was a good, you know, I ain't going to make myself look like a fool wearing a taco jacket for nothing.
Hey, one thing I know about being friends with Rob the last 5 years, RJ, you paying Rob, he is there.
You paying Rob, he's there? Okay, well,
I'm kind of like the Samuel Jackson. You went, what? How much? Okay, I'm there. Samuel Jackson don't turn down no roles now.
And good for Samuel Jackson. Yeah. But yeah, okay, so we'll skip the taco jacket that mm-hmm. you were wearing. You've said some really outlandish shit. And one of my favorite things is like when you go on a TV interview or if you go on The Jump or you go on something, you literally have 30 seconds, maybe a minute or two to really get your thoughts out. One of the best things about this platform is you're able to really fully kind of get all of your thoughts and emotions. And a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago. It's kind of all a blur. You said that Hakeem Olajuwon was 20 times better than Tim Duncan. You said, which we're going to get into that. You said that Olajuwon is the best player you've ever seen or ever been around.
No.
What did you say? What was the Olajuwon statement?
I said Olajuwon is one of the best players. I didn't say he's the best player.
Okay.
Kobe had the best work ethic.
Well, now, and that is something that legendary that I've seen. Even Phil Jackson has said, as most of the people, you know, he had to work that hard to achieve the level of greatness that he did.
Because he wanted to be great.
Because he wanted to be great. He was chasing.
He wanted to be great.
He was chasing. LeBron gets a lot of heat because he talks about chasing a ghost. Well, Kobe was chasing that exact same ghost, right? So he wanted to be great. So he had to continue working to achieve that.
Yeah. But it's different. You know, I think when – I don't think LeBron should even say he's chasing a ghost because I look at his positioning. You know, Jordan was a two. Kobe was a two. I feel like Kobe was chasing that ghost.
Yeah.
LeBron's on a whole nother island by himself because he's not a two guard. I mean, even though he could play that, I don't feel like people should even like compare him to Jordan because Jordan was a different position. That's like comparing Isaiah Thomas to Hakeem Olajuwon. Yeah. It's two different entities.
The thing that you brought up is that some people want to be great and some people want to be good. So if you view one or two people, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, as the greatest, you're not chasing them from a I want to be like them. I'm chasing them because I need to be on that same level. I want to be in that comparison level. And just from being around Bron and knowing his work ethic is something that I've never seen before. Being around Tim Duncan, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, Alonzo, Dikembe, when you've played in this league as long as we have, you're going to be around tons of Hall of Famers. And LeBron has the best work ethic that I've ever seen. And so I don't think he's chasing it from a standpoint of like Kobe stole all of Michael Jordan's moves. He stole the turnaround, the footwork, all that. And you should. Like, whatever, you should try and take it to another level.
But is that stealing? Isn't that just learning from the best?
Emulating.
It's emulating. It is learning from the best. But part of greatness is doing something that no one else can do and paving the way. Like, I have a shit ton of respect for Kobe. I view LeBron as better than Kobe from the standpoint of, like, LeBron has always had to carry a team. Like, you look at Kobe Bryant has two finals MVPs. And I know the Laker people are going to lose their shit. I don't care.
You're looking at one.
Yeah. I don't care. Kobe Bryant might have been the second best player in the world, but he was the second best player on three of those championship teams. And that's why Shaq has three finals MVPs, because Shaq was the most dominant player on those teams and in that era, right, from that team. So Kobe, part of the reason why it broke up, and I know we all as basketball kind of fans, is because Kobe had to prove he could do it by himself. Like, that was something on his – like, he couldn't be a sidekick. He needed to be the man. Well, LeBron's always been the man. Mm-hmm. There's never been he was the second best player or a player that was even on his level on his team. You can say D-Wade and Chris Bosh and these guys, but these guys were never truly – on his level, right? And so I think LeBron did it his way. Kobe took Michael Jordan's format and copied it and worked his ass off and achieved greatness. That's what's different. That's why it's kind of like you can't compare LeBron to anybody. You can't compare Larry to anybody. But you can compare Michael and Kobe because he just followed that format.
Yeah, you could do that. But it's for my thing is, you know, people always says, well, Kobe wanted his spotlight. You know, it wasn't that, you know, he didn't have his spotlight. He just had to share that spotlight. And you got to realize Shaq had been in the league longer. Shaq was this dominant force that came in. And, you know, it's like I always compare them to two big rams on a hill. You know, they're going to butt heads to see who's the dominant one. But I still think that it's people always want to say, well, Shaq was the man. But technically, Kobe was the man, too. Shaq just we gave him the ball more. And he was bigger and badder than anybody on the court. You know, Kobe was still big and badder than anybody on the court, too, but not as comparable to what Shaq was doing. So I think that, you know, Kobe, to me, is the – you know, it goes back and forth. Me is a tie for the second best player. You know, people always – they always say that, you know, it has to be a first, it has to be a second, it has to be a third. And like this year, I think there should have been two MVPs of the league this year, maybe three. And people always want to know, it just has to be number one, number two. You know, no, it's like I think it's Jordan and it's Dream and Kobe are right here. And then you got LeBron like coming up little by little to catch them. Now, I love LeBron, and I think LeBron is, by the end of his career, is going to probably be, you know, with Jordan one or two. But right now, I always look at what LeBron does on the court. It's incredible. You know, but I see what Kobe did, and I played against LeBron. I had never had the pleasure of playing with him. I would love to have played with him. But I just know that from playing against Kobe, playing with Kobe, and playing against LeBron, I had to put Kobe a slight head of LeBron.
And I respect
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you catch me tomorrow, I might say, you know, Kobe's the best player of all time. You know?
I like that. It depends on how you're feeling.
It's how I'm feeling, but yeah.
It is interesting because Kobe's, you know, we see a lot of those old finals games yeah. on our network, and Kobe's numbers were off the charts yeah. right there with Shaq. But like you said, Shaq was just such a dominant force. Yeah. You talked about two Rams butting heads. Shaq will always say, like, we didn't have issues during practice and all this
no,
stuff.
No, never.
Is that true?
This is so true. And I always, like, and it's the
us.
Funniest thing because we'll be coming to practice. We have a great practice. You know, at the, yeah. the locker room, you icing, you laughing, you yeah. joking. And if I don't like you, I'm leaving. Or I'm not talking to you, yeah. right? They always laughed and joking one another. And all of a sudden, we'll walk out to the press. Well, Kobe said this about Shaq. Shaq said this about Kobe. Like, what the hell are y'all talking about? I like, and we could never figure it out because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I won my championships in Houston, the first person I hugged was Sam Cassell because that was my boy. That's who I was closest with. And if you go back and look at the championships, who was the first person that hugged each other?
Shaq and Kobe.
Shaq and Kobe.
That's
so if
point.
I don't like you, I'm not even hugging you. You know, by the way,
Rich just sat
thing.
In his chair and cried. I don't know if
I did. I swear to God. They go. They're watching. It was like, we're looking for Rich. And like, so for me, like, you were so fortunate. Like, we kind of had a weird path. Like, I went to two straight finals my first and second year.
Uh-huh.
You went your first couple years, but you were able to win them.
Yeah.
So it was like, for you, like, you had a different path. Me, I had been chasing this ghost of just trying to win a championship. Even my
when you ran into us, it's okay.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Do you remember what I told you on the free throw line?
I don't remember. I
this is
out.
Like, you know, I've always been a huge fan of yours.
Thank
you know,
you.
Even though you went to the fake U of A, I've been a huge fan of yours. And I remember we were still on the free throw line. I told you got robbed.
From when? When?
For your rookie year. When I said, you should have been rookie of the year. You got robbed.
I do remember yeah. that because I was always so pissed off. I was like, dude, I averaged 10 points a game for a team that led the conference all year long.
Yeah.
And we went to the NBA Finals. And it's like, you're going to give
it. Numbers thing.
But I'm just saying, you're going to give it to somebody that averaged 15 points a game for a team that won 26 games?
I looked at him. I said, man, you got robbed. You should have been rookie of the year. I don't even know if you remember that. But I was always a big fan of yours because I just loved the way you played.
I appreciate that. And part of it was like, even now, like I remember, is it Brogdon? Brogdon, the kid from.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon.
Did they win? Was it co-rookie of the year?
He won rookie of the year.
Who did?
He won it over Saric?
Yeah,
who won
guy,
rookie of the year?
The guy in Philly.
Oh, Saric.
Yeah.
He won rookie of the year.
No. Milwaukee guy.
Milwaukee.
Yeah. Milwaukee.
So this is what
Saric
I was saying.
Was all rookie
so this.
Team.
Yeah. So this was my argument. So I said it like a couple months ago. Brogdon averaged 10 points a game mm-hmm. for a team that made the playoffs as a rookie. And you have to contribute every day.
Yep.
That means there is no rookie wall. That means that every possession matters. That is important. Why would you go if a guy can average 10 points a game for a playoff team and you have to contribute every day to help your team get to that goal? Why would you give it to a guy that averaged 16 points a game for a team that was just thrown out there and they never won any games?
Well, he can just take bad shots all the
bad
time.
Bad shots. It didn't matter if
didn't
you want to lose.
Yeah.
There was no repercussions to bad decisions. Like my rookie year, I missed two free throws, right? So, fast story. Part of the reason why they have the lights on the backboard and they have reviews at the end of the quarter. My rookie year, we played against Reggie Miller and Indiana. So, we're the one seed. They're the eight seed. And Reggie hits a half-court shot. Like, it's game five of the playoffs. Reggie hits a half-court shot that ties the game, right? But this was after, if you rewind 30 seconds, I'm in the game in the fourth quarter. I grab the last rebound. We're up by three. I grab the rebound at the end of the game. It's game five, which was a game seven at that point in time. So I grab the rebound. Everyone's high-fiving me because there's only 2 seconds left. Richard, good job, blah, blah. I go to the free throw line and I clank two free throws. So I clank two free throws in a game seven situation, right? We're up by three. They inbound the ball. They get it to Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller shoots a half court shot and it goes in. The problem was, is that it went in after, and like it didn't really, it went off of his hands at the end, like the buzzer had gone off, but they didn't have review back in 01. So all of that changed because of moments like that. But that
Don't feel bad. That happened to me too.
And it, you know, but this is what I'm saying. My career would have been different.
But that shot didn't count. Fish hit against us.
Yes, it did. We had fought about this on air.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
0.2 seconds.
It was 0.4. It was 0.4. It was not 0.2.
It was 0.2.
It was 0.4.
It was 0.4.
0.04.
You tell me you can catch it, turn around, and shoot in 0.4.
Rob, real quick. No. He's talking about the Derek Fisher shot in San Antonio.
Game five, where
Shaq says one lucky shot deserves another, right?
And you know the funny part is, if I'd have did what I wanted to do, we would have won that game.
Tell us the story.
So you're saying
you
Pop's an asshole.
Pop. You play for Pop.
No, I'm just kidding. Pop's not Pop. I'm joking.
Pop. Wait, don't say us when you're talking about the Spurs. Say the Spurs. You're not at us with the Spurs.
No, I said he played for the Spurs too.
Yeah, I don't
so
care.
So at the time when I was with the Spurs, is that better?
Yeah, there we go.
So Pop doesn't like Kobe. He was like, I don't like him. I don't want him to hit a game winner. And so he says, Rob, when Kobe comes off, just guard him. I said, no, you want the ball to go away from the basket. So where I was standing, Kobe comes off. I actually did this. 1001, no, I shouldn't do it. Fuck it. I got to do it to Kobe. So I run over to Kobe. The spot I leave, kicks it right to Fish. Fish catches and turns. I'm looking at Pop the whole time like, see, if you make him throw him out that way, away from the basket, going this way and turning, I'm like, really?
Because he's turning towards his left hand.
I was just shaking my head. And like after that, it was a wrap.
Did you go into the office and ask if they could fire Pop?
Negative. everybody gets, it's like, forget that Pop is actually the GM. You can't tell, going and say, can you fire the coach? Hold on, let me go get the coach who is actually the GM. And it's because, you know, the other guy is just a figurehead.
No, man. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you know the history of the podcast, but the other host of this show, Allie Clifton, who's the sideline reporter, she's one of the best in the business for the Cavs. Rafa, who's not here, he does Mike's job. And Channing Frye, who doesn't care,
but he
is part of it. So Alex and I are show contributors, right? So we were on a text chain, and we're talking about San Antonio people, and they were loving this, wanting to get a petition to kick Big Shot Bob out of the San Antonio Sports Hall of Fame because you said it was funny. Tim Duncan didn't have the work ethic of Hakeem Olajuwon and Manu cost you another ring. So I looked all over the internet and scoured for a shot of this petition. I cannot find it.
So it's not real.
I can't find it either.
I
used to go back and forth to San Antonio a lot because I had a restaurant down there. So I used to go back. And it's amazing. These San Antonio fans are probably the most craziest, loyal fans.
So San Antonio people, like, they're intense. They're very intense. They're not very big fans of me, but they're very intense.
You know how it is down in San Antonio. Their fans are, like, crazy. And for them, there's three people or four people you can't say anything about. That's Pop, David, Tim, and Manu. You would think Tony, but they don't really care about Tony.
No, it's the Spanish-speaking Manu. When Manu starts speaking that Spanish, they lose it.
I'm like, wait, he's Argentinian. He's not even Mexican. Most of y'all are Mexican. He's Argentinian. Stop being his fan like that. You know, and it's crazy because, the thing is that truth hurts. You know, and what I said about Manu is, you know, I say it all the time that he cost me a championship.
Are you talking about the Dallas where you're up by two? They say don't do it. Or was up
we
by
up three?
Three? Up three,
we
and
up
they
three.
And one he and one's Dirk Nowitzki.
Yes,
yes. And then that was a year that they beat who?
Miami.
Did, no,
Miami beat Dallas.
Yes. And I'm like, it says let him go. And crazy Manu fouls Dirk. He goes to the line, makes it, and we lose in overtime. You know, and think about me, it's. That's not saying anything negative. That's saying
the truth.
I mean, that's your friend. You're loves. I mean,
and it's the thing. It's the truth. And the other thing that they want to castrate me about is what I said about Tim. It's like I said, Tim. Dream is 20 times better than Tim.
Now Tim's been on this podcast now. So
no, but here's the thing: when I said that, it was taken out of context. What I meant was because if you go back and look at what I was talking about when Tim was roasting me. When we played them in the final, I says he was killing me in the post. Mm-hmm. Phil wouldn't double team. So I was trying to say that Dream was 20 times better than Tim in the post. And that is the truth.
Well, you didn't say post.
I didn't say post.
You did not say post. You did X amount of time.
I know that. That's what I'm saying.
You forget small details when you have a small amount of time.
Thank you, Alex.
It happens.
But no, you know, in the heat of the battle, and it's like you get to talk, and I just said, you know, somebody said some crazy shit would piss me off when they were talking about. It's the thing. I get so pissed off about when people was like, oh, you better be glad Jordan went in the league. Y'all would have won those two championships with Houston. Man,
holla at your boy.
You know, and that's the thing that pissed me off. So he said that, and when Paul Pierce said that, I'm like, man,
holla at your boy.
You better be glad you won your championships. You know what I'm saying? So, and it pissed me off, and it cut me short.
Yeah, you know, that's why I said it's tough.
It cut me short. But, you know, and the funny part is Tim texts me like, damn, who pissed in your Cheerio? I'm like, dude.
See, that's what the San Antonio fans don't know.
Oh, Tim is amazing. Yeah. So Tim came on this podcast, and people were like, we did not know Tim was that funny. Like, Tim's hilarious.
Yes.
Tim is hilarious.
Great guy.
You know, he texts you.
Yeah, he texts me. He's like, who pissed in your Cheerio? I said, dude, you know I got nothing but love for you. But, you know, I grew up a Dream fan. I grew up wearing his Etonics. You know, people don't even know what the hell Etonics are.
Oh, I had two at 88.
So I don't know what Etonics are.
Etonics were the shoes he had. They were like almost like what, spot built or whatever it was like that. But, and I was a huge Dream fan. Of course, in my eyes, even if I did say 10 times, 20 times better than the post, to me, Dream is always going to be better than Tim Duncan. And it ain't nothing against Tim, because I think Tim is probably the second best postman, big man, third best, you know, if you want to go down the line. But to me, watching the body work of Dream, because when you in practice and you send it live, and you in games send it live, and when you get a guy to come out and says, oh, I played my best defense ever, but he still roasted me, that lets you know that guy right there, meaning David Robinson, understands that how good
No, mind you, like Tim, oh, yeah.
Alex just got
I just pulled up the Etonic shoes.
Nice job,
those are
turn these
epic.
Off. Don't show those to anybody ever again.
that's before you started wearing diapers.
No, I was still wearing diapers. Thank God. I'm glad there's somebody that can make me feel young on this podcast for one. No, but you make a very, very good point. Like, I tell people all the time, like, Jason Kidd, until I played with LeBron, is the best player that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because people can say whatever they want. Like, you would see Jason Kidd's highlights on ESPN, and you would see two or three highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Where I saw 10 of those in that game, and he did, and I was with him for 7 years.
Yeah.
That being said, I was one of the same people that made that argument that if Michael Jordan was still playing, that those two championships, because Hakeem only won two championships before and at, like I'm saying, in between the two gaps of Michael Jordan. So you can understand the argument.
Yeah.
You can understand the argument.
I ain't mad at people for saying that.
No.
But the problem is that the thing is just like the reason we almost lost to Portland is Scotty knew Phil.
Yeah.
Phil doesn't change.
Yeah.
You know, Phil is an okay coach. Everybody thinks he's a great coach. He's an okay coach.
Okay.
His system is great. That's what makes him a good coach. Because you think about it, anytime you put Phil in a situation where the team is so-so,
he's not.
He disappears as a coach. And I ain't got nothing against Phil, and then, but it's the truth. It's honest. You can look at the body of work that he's
done. But
that's
why he also left when the team was about to be shit in
exactly,
L.A.
Exactly.
When the team was about, you know. Kobe left and they were breaking it out, he came back when he was like, wait, who do you guys got?
Just so you guys know, he almost had Smush Parker winning a series against the best team in the West that year, Phoenix Suns.
But you want to find a nut every once in a while. So
but dude, Pop didn't win a title for 8 years between 2007 and 15.
Yes, but they had multiple one seeds. They were always a high level team. And look, I to me think Popovich is the best coach in modern day basketball. Like Red Auerbach, you can say that. I don't like obviously what. You know, you look at what he had in Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and I'm not saying it's easy, but when you have the greatest player in the history of the game and you win six championships, good for you. Then you get Shaq and Kobe. Okay, you win three. Good for you. Then you get Kobe and Powell. Like, yes. Now,
Kobe,
I want to say,
I am not disrespecting
that, but Popovich had the same core guys for 15 years.
Impressive.
And won five. In a small market, right, where you're not, there's not a ton of cap space, there's not a ton of stuff where you can go and pay a $50 million tax like we just paid in Cleveland the last 2 years.
Can I say this, though? The problem is, Rich, it's not a problem, but the beauty of the San Antonio Spurs is that all those years that they lost, 08 all the way to 14 when they won it again, they had a lot of teams that they thought were supposed to get to the finals and win.
Including
if that's in a large market, if that's in a big market, That team doesn't get to stay together. Pop gets fired. I'm just saying, like, people.
Don't get fired.
I give credit to San Antonio. I'm just saying, I give credit to San Antonio. They allowed that team to go through the journey.
Well, yeah, Pop,
no one allows that in New York and LA.
It's like the Utah team.
Yeah,
back
people
in the
want to trade Kevin Love when they don't win a championship.
Yeah, Utah
he's a great player.
Utah, think about all this time when Utah was so good forever, but they just couldn't get over Black Jesus. And so it's okay, we got to do something. You know, that's the thing. When Black Jesus left, then you saw how we came in and took over. But, you know, the thing about the San Antonio Spurs, it all starts with David Robinson.
Yeah.
It started with David Robinson because when you're respected around the league and all of a sudden you see the culture and you come into that situation, you know, you kind of just fall in line. You know, and that's the thing about it. He's like, you come in there and he drafted the perfect person. The guy who's the ultimate, line follower. He don't step. There's not a line stepper in Tim Duncan. He came in, and Tim, one of the best players ever played this game. Next thing you know, you fuck up and get a young guy, Manu and Tony, and they're looking at Tim because they all respect him and they follow line. And everything else you just add to the mix.
The culture they've created is remarkable.
But one of the things that people have asked me multiple times, and I tell people constantly. My struggles in San Antonio were more about me as an individual. I had, just broken up with my fiance of, my relationship of 5 years. I was dealing with a ton of personal issues. Actually, my financial manager, like the stuff that people are now hearing about
him.
We talked about on the last podcast. That started when I was in San Antonio. I found the fraud and all that stuff. So I had a ton of things that happened to me in San Antonio, which people don't understand.
True.
If you
treated you like a scapegoat.
I don't give a shit. If you do this long, because I'm man enough to be like, yo, I could do better. But at the same point in time, it's like the things that I went through while I was there stop me from being the player that I need to. And I'll take credit. But listen, will you stop making these damn faces?
I'm just pissed because they stuck you in a corner and then blamed you.
But what I am saying is,
sorry for sticking up for you.
No, but one of the things that I want to say is this. People look at the history of San Antonio. Why is it that players that come in after they've been established stars struggle more than guys that come through the system? So Tony came through the system. Great player. Manu came through the system. Great player. Tim came through the system. Great player. Myself, I struggled. Antonio McDice struggled.
Michael Finley
struggled.
Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge struggling. And that's not to say that LaMarcus Aldridge is a 17-8 guy. Like everywhere else, he was a 24.
I struggled my first year.
You struggle. I'm saying there is a struggle. So you can say whatever you
want.
Is it
the city?
No.
It's not the city, but I'm saying Brent Berry, his first year. I wouldn't say struggled is not the right word, but it's just like you can average 18, 20. You could be this guy. Then you come into the system and they're like, okay, but guys like Kawhi, they're like, Pop has turned Kawhi into a high-level great player. And it's like, for me, it's easier if Pop is all you've ever known. It's easier for you to grow and be successful than if you're a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge that was a 23-12 guy, and then you come in the system. You come in the system because I'm not going to say I was made the scapegoat. I believe that I could have produced better, but LaMarcus Aldridge is in that same boat. So I look at LaMarcus Aldridge from a distance being like, oh, I know what you're going through, big guy. I know what you're going through.
But it's things like I remember my first year there, I struggled. And it was funny, the San Antonio fans like, oh, he's a spy. Lakers sent him in here for us to suck. I'm like, are you serious
now?
I'm like, and no, this is what people were actually saying. And
spy.
I actually took less.
They thought you were a spy. They thought you worked for Russia.
Yeah, I took less money to stay there to just, get my rep back. And I told Michael Finley, I said, when he got there, I said, Mike, let me tell you something. In order for you to be successful, you got to dumb your game down. He looked at me like, what? You have to be a robot. Because when you get to San Antonio, they get A, B, C, D. If you try to go A, B, O, E, they're going to look like, oh, what you doing?
The only guy that does that is Manu.
Yeah. And one game, I'm like, Bud, head coach of the Hawks now, we were playing New York. I'm trying to run a play, and I turn around, the guy's on top of me. I forget his name, but he running. I'm like, so I don't do the play, right? Because I can't get to him. And I hear Bud on the sideline, like, Robert don't know the play. Get him out the fucking game.
Oh, wow.
So I get on the sidelines. Let me tell you something.
Holla at your boy.
And I said this in front of Pop.
I saw Bud this weekend. Bud's an Arizona guy, by the way.
I said, listen, holla at your boy. I knew the play. If you go back and look at the holla at your boy film, you notice he overran the play, so I didn't give it to him. And he looked at me like this, like, oh, shit. Bob. I'm like, and that's when they thought I was crazy. Because Pop never yelled at me the whole time I was there because they said, you don't yell at Robert. Because you yell at Robert, he going to yell back at you. And so I remember one time Pop yelled at me. I just started laughing. He looked at me like, what the hell are you laughing at? I said, because you yelling at me. You know I ain't going to pay your ass no attention. You know. And so because my whole thing is like I'm a smart player. Just tell me what you need to do. Don't, you know, I understand it's times to be yelled at and it's not just because. But dumbass over here ain't going to make a mistake. And you don't yell at him. Then I make the same mistake. And you yell at me, that shit ain't happening, you know, because everybody on this team is equal. I don't care if you're the first man or the 15th man. That's how I always looked at, because everybody on the team is vital and important in their own way. So you're not just going to yell at me and not yell at somebody else. And so, but that is the one good thing about Pop, though. He will yell at everybody. On the team. He don't care.
I love that about him.
Yeah, no one is exempt. There is,
I love that about him.
And I've been on teams where one, like, there was always a scapegoat. There was always an asshole. But that was the thing about Pop that was so, so funny. But, you know, You're right. Like it is a very difficult situation, and one of the
things they play
like,
different now, though.
No, I had Damon Stoudemire. Yeah. Damon Stoudemire told me. Sean Elliott, Arizona guy. Steve Kerr, Arizona guy. They told me about Pop when I first got there, and like I said, I was not the best version of myself. I will 1,000% say that I was not.
You know, but I don't think people understand. You know, my ex-wife wrote a book. And she talks about the struggles of our daughter who passed away, and people thinking that since you're a millionaire, that you have no issues.
Oh,
and people don't understand, I'm a human being. You know, if my daughter's sick, do you think I want to play fucking basketball? You think if, you know, I'm having financial issues, you think I want to play fucking basketball? Yeah. Well, now you got all these things going through your head. They don't understand that basketball is not that important sometimes.
How did you do it, Rob? How were you able to do both? How hard was it?
You know, for me, it was hard, but I basketball was my out. It was my way to let out frustration. It's like when you go in and hit a punching bag. When you're mad at your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you punch, or your husband, you punch that bag to let off that frustration so you don't go out and punch. And I remember some days in practice, I would just elbow people and I'd be like, my bad, man. But most of your teammates know what you're going through, and then be like, okay, you know, you, as long as you say my bad, they're like, okay, I understand. He's going through some issues at home and he needs to, you know, relieve some of that frustration. So, but that's the one thing that I hate about fans. They think just because you're making all this money that they think every day it should be roses. And it's not. We have problems. We have sick kids, sick siblings, sick parents, and we have issues too.
Yeah.
Money doesn't solve all problems.
The biggest thing that I've noticed, obviously, we just work around you guys all the time, but people think that professional athletes are these gods. Like, you're not normal people.
Yeah.
And you forget that you're just the same. You just worked harder. You put in more time. You were just the pinnacle of what you need to be in your sport to get there. But everyone is human. Like, even talking to normal fans every day, I'm like, they're just a normal person. They're just a very talented normal person.
Now, the funny part is when the fans see you and they're like, you shop here? You get your own groceries? Like, well, who the hell is going to get them? Because I know what I like, you know? And they just think that we sit at home, we have these servants that just do all these things for us, and we don't do anything for ourselves.
You know, Rob, it's such a short shelf life for athletes, and it's hard for people who don't do it to understand that, because what they see is, hell no, you're making this amount of money to play a game, and they don't understand that. But it's a short shelf life. So you make decisions that are best for you. That's why people will leave teams. I mean, it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
But if a guy wants to go play for some, you know what I mean? So it's like, you have personal issues. Hey, man, that's your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What you do for your job is different, even though it's on TV and everyone
sees. That's why when people got mad at LeBron for leaving, I'm like, it's his life. Let him do what he wants to do. When they got mad at KD, it's his life. And people don't understand, you know, you don't realize when you get drafted. I was very, very fortunate. I really, really wanted to go to Houston. And I got drafted by a team that I really wanted to go to. You just think about this. If you a guy from Miami and you the number one pick, all of a sudden you get shipped to Utah. You don't want to fucking be in Utah.
Oh, shit, I didn't want to be in New Jersey. I was born in L.A., grew up in Arizona. How about this? My Arizona Wildcats won 27 games, and we were in the Final Four. We won 20. The Jersey Nets won 26 games the year before I got there. I didn't want to go to fucking Jersey.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. It worked out great.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, they told me that Jason Kidd got traded there, and I was like, okay. this might be okay
hey,
now.
Yeah. Hey, the Memorial okay. Fantasy Football League was born out of that, journey that you were
on. No, you know, and that's the thing, man. Like as much as people always – like, I've had two different sides. San Antonio, some San Antonio people hate me. Some people think that, like, yo, you got a raw deal and blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
you
look,
were a spy just like me.
Yeah, I was a spy. But I was not the best – I was not the best version of myself. And that's why I've never said anything negative about my time in San Antonio, because I did enjoy it. But – No, it is tough when you're going through. I've been doing this game for 17 years, mm-hmm. right? So you're going to have good years and bad years.
Yep.
And your favorite artist is going to have some good albums and some bad albums. They're going to have some good songs and some bad songs. Yep. Your favorite actor is going to have some good movies and some bad movies.
Everyone's human. No one's perfect.
Yeah. But that's
everyone's got a Caddyshack too.
Everyone's got a Caddyshack too.
You know what Rob's best years were? The best version of himself? Phoenix with Danny Ainge.
Oh my God. Oh, Rob. Okay. Everybody. So there's a lot of you. There's some young basketball players that might not remember this. So I grew up in Phoenix, and we talk about this on the podcast. There are certain teams that dominate a city.
Uh-huh.
In Cleveland, I can admit it's the Cleveland Browns, right? Even though we've won a championship, the Cleveland Browns. You know, in Chicago, it's the Chicago Cubs. If you are Chicago, you love the Cubs. In Phoenix, you love the Suns. It's not the Cardinals because they were shit for a lot of years. It's not the hockey team, the Coyotes. It's not the Diamondbacks, even though they've won a World Series. It is literally the Phoenix Suns as a team.
It was Barkley.
And I was in high school, and I remember Danny Ainge was a really, really popular guy. He was coming from Boston. The team was doing really well. And you decided to do something that I have never seen.
But you've wanted to do it.
Oh, I wanted to do it.
That's why I got big balls, baby.
Yeah. Big shot.
Big balls, Ori.
You got to have big balls.
Big balls, Bob.
But you did something that I had never seen. Danny Ainge, who is now a stud GM, high level player, and was a very, very good coach. You guys didn't necessarily see eye to eye, which led to three championships for the Lakers. So tell me. What happened?
You wrote the short story or the long version?
This is the podcast.
We want the long version.
So tell us the medium to long version of this.
All right. So first of all, when we got Sam Cassell, Mark Bryant, Chuckie Brown, I got traded for Charles Barkley. Previously, that's when we came 3-1 down.
Yeah.
And people don't understand, you know, Danny Ainge took the ball out one time and threw the ball and hit Mario point blank range in the face like this.
And said
he didn't do it on purpose. So, you know, Mario and I like this.
Yeah.
We were really close. So when we get to Phoenix, the first thing Danny Ainge tells me, oh, you know, I hit Mario on purpose with the ball. And I'm saying, dude, I can say this now because nobody really cares. If you go back and look at the game after that,
yeah,
we lost that game on purpose because we didn't care. We won. Our whole intention was just to light Danny ass up. Every time he came off a pick, we was just hitting him with elbows. Yeah. You go back and look at that game. He was probably in an ice bath like this. Our whole intent was just to hurt him.
Yeah,
man, and
respectfully.
And so, you know, to get there. That goes down, so I'm already mad at him. You know, God rest his soul, Cotton Fitzsimmons. Cotton was the coach. And then we're playing in Chicago, and this is when Jordan was back. We get beat by 40 points, right? And so the next day in practice, we're talking about offense. And I'm like, yo, dude, excuse me, man. I just want to say something. We just got beat by 40 points. Why are we talking about offense? We need to talk about our defense. And Danny Ainge is like, defense? You are worst defensive player on the team. And I was like, whoa.
Holla at your boy.
I said, first of all, I had 100 blocks, 100 steals in one fucking year. I was like, no disrespect, but, you know, Raymond Tisdale, you know.
God rest his soul.
You know, Persons, not Chuck, but his brother, Wesley Persons. And you said, I'm the worst fucking defensive player on this team? You out of your
holla at your boy.
Mind, right? And so this was, he was assistant coach. So we go on that then. Next thing I know, Cotton says, you know what? Fuck this. We 0-13. I'm out. You know, so Danny takes over.
Jason Kidd get traded that season?
Yes.
So that was okay. So again, so
yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt
no,
you,
okay.
And I'm such an asshole for that because I like yeah.
So we get no,
yo
Jason
man,
Kidd
I get blasted on no, Twitter no, from no, your people. No, that we,
no,
I interrupt this, you.
No, because I'm reliving my childhood I'm right now. I'm reliving
so
my childhood.
We get Jason Kidd, and so we the first game of Jason, we going up to Vancouver. We're down. We both.
Bibby.
We both 0-12.
Yeah.
0-13, whatever it was. We lose that game because Jason hurts his shoulder. You know, I ain't gonna lie. I feel like an all-star playing with Jason.
It's amazing.
I only played two games with him, but
he's amazing.
He's amazing. He makes everybody around him better. True point guard. So we lose that game. Cotton quits. And so now we go into Houston. My first game back in Houston. We're in the locker room. I've been starting this whole time. Danny's the head coach. we're going to go in a different direction, Rob. You're not going to start. I'm like, what? My first game back in Houston?
Are you hot?
I can't get no fucking applause? Hey, you know, I'm just coming up two taps. You know, even though nobody ever said it, I wanted my fucking applause.
Yeah, come on, standing ovation on a video.
You know,
so,
video
on Paul Tubby.
Like, what do you look forward to when you go back to
I don't
team?
Fucking start,
what
right?
What it is.
And then he, Houston goes on a run. He looks down at Rob getting the game. So the fans are already yelling. I'm like, this is some bullshit here, right? So I said, okay. You know, we get back. Then we go up to Boston. And he says, all right, we had just traded Michael Finley away. He says, Rob, we traded Michael to give you some more minutes. I'm like, okay, yeah, right, Danny. Whatever,
y'all traded
right?
him to get so, Jason Kidd.
Yeah, we get – I get in the game. I got, like, I hit a three. I had the block, steal. I'm rolling, right? Here come Danny Manning for me. I'm looking at Dan like, who you getting? Came to get you. I'm like, nuh-uh, I'm rolling. So I go over there. I said, yo, I thought you – you know, got rid of all those guys, give me more. I just go sit down. Yeah, I walk to the end of the bench. You know, we lose to Boston. And, of course, Boston fans hate me already because they you know they love Danny Ainge. So we get in the locker room. And
No. But okay. So I know I set it up, and I'm going to let you finish it. When you kind of yell at Danny Ainge, you take a towel and throw it dead in his face. And when I talk about a perfect shot,
just sticks.
I'm talking about it's like a perfect shot.
I'm,
it's
li-
like,
I'm literally
Rich, do it with the ball.
No, it's just like a perfect, like,
we're actually sitting,
like he's pulling the towel off his face.
The funny part is, like, we're sitting closer than we are right now. And I'm like right there.
It was perfect. It didn't hit him.
I mean, my hand was like probably 2 inches from his face when I let it go.
It hit it dead in his face. So it's like out of a cartoon, out of a movie. You see him pulling this towel. Now, as like a high school kid, right? As a high school kid, I'm watching this like, oh my God, people do this. Like, did he just throw the towel in the head coach's face? Like, what is going on?
But you got to realize, it was a whole buildup onto all
never,
of this,
it's
right?
It's never one moment. Yeah, it's never one game or one quarter or one play.
We get in the back, and so it's me, Sam Cassell, Mark Bryant, and Chucky. You know, we were all that Houston crew.
Yeah.
So Joe Klein was like, man, I don't know what to
holler at your boy.
What's going on, Rob? He square up on me, right? Joe Klein. I'm like, man, I said, man,
holler at your boy.
Big boy.
And then when Mark stood up next to me, the whole Houston crew, like, we were about to take on all, because, you know, I hate to say this about a team, but I understand why we came back and beat because there was a bunch of
holler at your boy.
Yeah.
I've never played with a more softer team ever in my life. Anytime something went wrong, oh, I can't practice today. You know, I have a hang now. I got a cough. And all those things were built up because I'm not used to that. I'm used to guys playing through, you know, sickness, coming to practice. But, you know, the funny thing is KJ didn't come to practice because we traded for Jason Kidd. He was mad.
You guys went small ball. You had Steve Nash, Jay Kidd. This is my childhood.
That's how me and Steve became boys because we weren't playing. Man, Steve and I would go in the lower gym and play one-on-one before a game for about an hour and a half. We'd get to the bench, we'd be like this. We know we weren't going to play.
Yeah.
We had more fun. You know, me and Steve were like even road dogs. I got in the car with Steve and drove down to Santa Clara one time when we came to play the Sacramento Kings. And so that whole build up with the Danny Ainge thing, it just made me so mad. And it was a good thing because at the time, Sergio Ciballos went on his little sabbatical and left the Lakers, and then I got swapped. But
when you got swapped, though, tell how, because you told this story with us on Lakers TV. His ass was in that car and gone.
Oh, man.
Hey, I packed my shit up in an hour out of my house. I called one of my boys. I said, dude, get your ass
we
in.
We go down Lake.
Hey, this is how old it was. He was driving the Expedition. That? You know, everybody had
to drive. Expedition.
Boom, I was gone. I
like
left that fast. The next day. I was out of there. I was like,
so it was a blessing in disguise for you.
Blessing in disguise. He won three more championships.
Yeah.
Hated Phoenix.
Played with Shaq. The next year.
Not the city. The team. I hated playing for the team because – you know, you got to realize when you go and practice, I'm sure all your practice now, there, you know, you go at each other, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to get better. It was like a fucking country club.
No, wait. The NBA is different now.
Yeah.
The NBA is different now. Like, you don't practice. Like, everyone needs to be healthy. You have 25, 26-year-old guys resting. Like, it's just, but it's the different. Like, and one of the reasons why I struggled in San Antonio is because I was, you didn't practice, but I came in 01. So, I guys like you and like Patrick Ewing, like, these guys were still the vets. So, you would come into camp, like, 10 pounds over. You would lose it over the 2 days. Where San Antonio, you didn't do that. So, Pop was like, oh no, you need to come in at 2:32 first day of camp. And you're like, I've never even heard of that, right? Especially for a guy that's playing a lot. Anyways, but when
thank Pat Riley for all that Pat Riley, body weight
but,
stuff. Yeah.
No, but even then, like when I tell you this is my childhood, like I was a huge fan of Phoenix. Phoenix and the Lakers were my two teams. Like David Robinson was my favorite player. Sean Elliott, again, an Arizona guy. So like those were kind of, I was a West Coast basketball guy for life. So when I remember Charles Barkley getting traded, I remember how good Jason Kidd was in Dallas. Yes. And so when people were so mad, because Michael Finley was a huge popular guy in Phoenix because he was an all-rookie team. He dunked on David Robinson one time really, really bad. So he was really, really popular in Phoenix.
And he was my boy. Me and Mike used to hang out all the time. Steve, we all hang together.
So Finn was supposed to be the future. Yeah. And so when they traded him for Jason Kidd, I remember all my schoolyard boys were like, yo, this is some bullshit. I can't believe it. I'm like, do you guys understand what Jason Kidd is?
Yeah.
Like, I was the kid that was arguing, like, Jason Kidd is far better than Michael Finley. You guys don't understand what happened. Now, Jason Kidd goes on. They have a bunch of 57-win seasons. And just a short story, like, when I got drafted by Jersey, Byron Scott calls me, hey, Byron, I texted you to try to come on the podcast, too, by the way. Text me back so you can come on.
So I texted
Byron's like, yo, I think we have some things that are going to make you happy. And I'm like, I'm excited because they hadn't won any games. The next day, they're like, Jason Kidd has been traded for Stephon Marbury. And I'm like, I get to play with Jason Kidd. Holy shit, it's going to be all right. So it's like, I understand, and I watched this story. So to hear the full-on transcript of how, because people think
it's never one game. I couldn't wait for him to hear it. I was like a little kid. I couldn't tell him earlier. It's never one game. It's never one thing.
It's always a buildup of stuff. People make it seem like the Latrell Sprewell when he got into it with PJ Carlissimo, or whenever you have these random blowups.
Yeah.
It's never one game or one quarter. It's a buildup of months, maybe even years of sometime
hostility.
It was
years with the Danny Ainge thing. You know, and for me is, I remember, and my mom got on to me about this because I hate him. You know, my mom's like, you should never hate anybody. And I said, okay, well, I dislike him.
And for him to hit one of my good friends,
the things that he did, and you know, the bad part is also, I think the hate started building up even before I even met Dana because guess who was my mentor when I first got in the NBA?
Who?
Tree Rollins. And you know, Tree and Danny don't like each other anyway.
Danny Ainge had a reputation.
Yeah.
People don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, your reputation can follow you a lot further than you ever know. And it's like, you can do a dickhead thing and that was just to a player. But then all of a sudden, now I'm a coach and I need to be respected. But Mario was your guy.
Yeah,
and Mario, he's had, again, I've had a lot of guys because he's coaching now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different guys have told me how much they love Mario, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you just know this. And it makes it, if you do these type of things, it makes it difficult. But, you know, it's a tough dynamic when you have two kind of generations of the NBA, you know, like you have the older guys and young guys. Like, I only knew Danny Ainge really as a coach. And then as I became more of a basketball historian, I started to learn how much he was fucking hated when he played for the Celtics.
A lot.
People hated him.
Guys, it was my childhood.
That's what I'm saying. You're talking about your childhood.
Yeah. I mean, those 30 for 30s, the three-part series that's come out.
Think about it.
Talk about love and hate.
He wanted to be hated.
He wanted to be hated. He didn't mind that.
He didn't care.
And I respect that as a competitor. If you don't give a shit whether or not people hate you, it's the Draymond Greens, the Gary Paytons, the guys that don't care, the Matt Barnes. Like, these guys, like, I don't give a shit if you don't like me. I will sleep fine at night.
Mm-hmm.
Big shot. I know what Rich's favorite title is. Because he won one.
This is my question. I was waiting for this.
Go ahead, girl. Jump in.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, jump in.
I don't even know if it's possible. Are you going to ask his favorite? Yeah.
Please do.
It's incredible. I mean, the goal when you come into the NBA is to win a championship. That's why, like, I never feel bad for LeBron going places, KD switching. Yeah, 7-0. It's insane. Do you have a favorite championship?
My 95 championship is my favorite.
Why? Is that your first?
Can we go gold, silver, bronze?
Is that the down 3-1?
Yes, that's the down 3-1.
Oh, I can relate.
That's the first.
I can relate to being down 3-1.
That's the second time.
Now, you did it in the second. Was it the second round?
Yeah, it was the second.
You did it in the second round. I did it in the finals. It's no big deal. It's okay. We're not here trying to go tip for tat.
Your favorite title's the second one?
Yes, 95.
Because they were down and out.
You got to realize, 95 is my favorite champion because we just came off the best record in the NBA, winning 9-4 against the Knicks. The next year, we're not even on Sports Illustrated like most teams. You know, people were saying we didn't deserve the title. And that year, we got Sam got hurt, Dream got hurt, I got hurt, and we finished with the sixth
best record.
Yeah,
so you were better than the sixth seed. You were better than the sixth seed.
And plus, we had the big trade. We traded away Otis Thorpe and got Clyde.
Okay.
And so we never played together collectively as a team until like the last maybe 5 or 6 games a year. And then we went on, and we were 6 seed. So our first game was against Utah Jazz. You know, they had won 55-plus wins. We beat them on game 5 in their building. Then we go to Phoenix. We get down 3-1, and that's when AC and Charles starts, oh, they're not going to win this year. We got them this year. We come back and win that series. You know, and then next we go against San Antonio Spurs, who owned us. They had beat us 5-0 that year.
Yeah.
And that's back when you played teams 5 times.
And did they have an unbelievable record that year?
Yeah. David won MVP.
Scored and, you know, 70 or something. So
71 to beat Shaq for the scoring title. Yeah. Sorry about knowing that, man.
You know, like, David got MVP in Dream's in front of Dream. Dream was the MVP last year. Pissed Dream off. So we go in San Antonio, win the first 2 games in San Antonio, then lose the next 2, and then we win the next 2, and so we go to Orlando. And that year, every time you
Nick turn Anderson.
TV, every time you turn TV on, Orlando was on. Orlando was on. Shaq and Penny. Shaq and Penny.
They were the babies
we're
of the
defending
of the
champions. We can't even get on TV, right? So we were already mad. And then we go and it says, and then you know how they had back then, they had newspapers. I don't know if y'all know what a newspaper is.
Still get it.
Still got it.
You know, they would have the ratings.
The thing I download on my iPad is the thing I download.
Yeah, so they would have the ratings, right? It says Shaq and Dream awash, Penny and Clyde awash, Horace will kill Robert Horry. Everybody was going to kill us. So next thing you know, I'm like, man, you know, this is when small ball was pretty much invented because when we were in Phoenix, because Charles was killing Chucky and Pete Chilcutt. He was killing us. Like, let's put Rob on. I'm like, Rob too little. And so next thing you know, I'm bringing Charles away from the basket. That's when we was down 3-1. Yeah. We win that series.
He shot the ball really well. Yeah. Shot the ball
and
really well.
And I don't like to say this because.
Say it.
That's
say
the year
it.
They moved the 3-point line in.
This is where you do it.
The 3-point line. Wait, say it again.
That's the year they moved the 3-point line in. So I was gunning that year, man.
I know.
So
it was like a college
dream. Exactly.
So was like, yeah, we had to move this shit back again. Yeah. Like, come on.
And people don't understand, before that year started, well, before All-Star, Kenny Smith was number 1 in 3-point percentage. I was number 4, and neither one of us got invited to the 3-point shooting contest.
It's all about stars.
And people don't understand. We were shooting the shit out of that bitch, right? And so we beat Orlando. We sweep Orlando. And so that's my, you know, because we was a 6 seed, and we were able to beat, you know, you think about who we beat. You got Karl Malone, John Stockton, Hall of Famers. Charles Barkley, A.C. Green, K.J., Hall of Famers. Then you go to get David, Dennis Rodman, Sean Elliott.
Larry Brown coaching.
Brown wasn't coaching. That was the guy who got fired.
Lucas?
No.
Hill?
He coached in Indiana too. Yeah, Hill.
Bob Hill?
And then you had Avery, University of Alabama head coach now.
Damn, that is a good team.
So you got right. We beat them. And then we beat, you know, Shaq and Penny and all those guys. If you look at the run we had, it was freaking Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer,
Hall of
Famer.
So you were the underdog. Give me a silver
medal
title.
You were the
medal
bad
title.
News Bears.
No, that we don't need silver medal.
I want a second title.
I have a bronze.
I want a Laker title.
He's
16-1 is my next
title. Yeah, look, so you know, look.
I was so mad we lost that first game to
Philly.
To Philly.
Where he stepped over
T-Lou. This is what I hate. Everybody think that, you know, it's like, oh, he stepped over. Like,
He fell down.
He took a shot and fell down. It's not like he crossed him over and just like everybody. Yeah. Like, I'm like, stop saying he crossed him over.
By the way,
T-Lou
played great that game.
He did.
T-Lou always
T-Lou
says
got
like,
paid.
Yeah.
T-Lou was like, he can step over me all he wants and he's going to win a championship. T-Lou keeps saying that.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny. Like, you talk about that and it's like, there's so many different, like, moments and teams, and like, you've been very, very blessed. Like, 7 championships.
Really, really
are you
blessed.
Shitting me? Like, I've been sitting here crying trying to get my first, and like,
and you did cry,
and I did 100% cry. My wife was like, you didn't even cry at the birth of our son, and I was like, babe, I never dreamed about being a father.
Move to Glendale,
I dreamed about being a champion. Like, that was my life's work since I was like probably like 10 years old. Like I said, watching you guys in Phoenix, watching all of these guys like battle and fight. Like, this is a moment that I've literally lost sleep over. And you know, it's tough. Like, you know, like, you were fortunate. So it's like, I'm sitting here with this asshole, and he's talking about
to sweep 3 times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to hit him over
the bottom. Hates
wait,
my
you
life.
And it's like, even when they beat us, like my rookie year, it was just like it's tough, man.
You know, this is the first time
we had no chance.
This is the first time I ever defied a coach, and it was funny. Phil was like, well, you need to guard Kenya. I'm like, man, fuck Kenya. I'm gonna let him shoot 80 shots. If you want to take all these shots, let him shoot. He cannot shoot. Yeah. So if you watch us play that series, I'm like this. You want to shoot a 15-footer? Go right ahead, because I'm not going to guard you.
Yeah,
because you're going to blow around me and jump over me.
Kenya, I'd love to have you on this podcast, too. I'm going to do my boy Channing. I'm going to give a shout-out to tell all the guys. Like, Byron, I sent you a text. I don't know if you got my text. Hit me up.
I may have given you the wrong number.
Yeah, you probably gave me the wrong number. You don't care. Kenyon, like, I'd love to have you on here. Kenyon, we could tell some really good New Jersey Nets stories. But, no, man, times are different, man. Yes. It's like you even now you look at the way social media impacts, like how guys move, it's how guys crazy. Talk, how guys have to react. Go ahead.
I have a question about that because you were saying you would wake up and read the paper every morning. So as a player, are you reading – every day when you're in the game, what people are saying about you, and does it affect you?
It affected me. From day one, it affected me when Dick Vitale called me the most overrated player in high school. Mm-hmm. And I've always tried to find things. Anything positive, I wouldn't read. I would read because I use it as a motivating factor to push me. You know, when you're running those lines, when you're lifting those weights, and you're going up against a guy, you know. And the thing, it's like, I love Horace. Horace is my boy. He's one of the nicest guys you ever will meet or play with. But when he was rated ahead of me, I'm like, are you serious right now? And it just, you know, even though Horace was a great power forward, I said, you ain't seen a power forward like this yet. You know, because the three-point line has moved in. You don't like to come out. You know, I'm going to light
you
your
the
ass
original
up.
Stretch four. Yeah, one of the original stretch fours.
And that's how I viewed it. I was like, okay, this. And it's like everything I used to was like motivation. You have to do that. Because like now you can just turn on your phone like, okay, who said something to me on Instagram?
Oh, it pops up on your notifications.
Well, no, but I'm saying like the way social media has impacted all – of everybody.
Dress,
everybody. Like
every
just
single moment.
Everything. Yeah. And it's like everything is so packaged. It's even like Joel Embiid, right? Young talented guy. Do you see his thing?
I know. I don't really pay attention.
So Joel Embiid got in trouble because he said, I think like he was on social media and he said like fuck LeVar Ball or something. I don't know if it was LeVar. I don't know. One of the L balls that he said fuck.
A ball.
And he said a ball. Left ball. And so he got fined $10,000 by Adam Silver and by the NBA. And I was just confused. And it was like, we're in an off season. You're on a social media. And I get it. You don't want guys like doing that type of stuff. But it just kind of, to me, I was just confused how you could just find a guy that. And I was just wondering, like, Joel, I'm on your side. I think it's unfair. I think it's unjust. And I just wonder what would happen if I were to be like, hey, you know what? Fuck LeBron James. You know, never liked the guy. Never liked the guy. Think the guy should have gone bald 10 years ago.
Hey, that's 5G. Right? Go ahead.
I was just at Kent Bazemore's wedding.
But they know you're kidding.
Well, how do you know if he's kidding or not kidding? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how do you not know if I were to be like, you know, fuck Kent Bazemore?
If you put LOL behind it, there's no use.
I don't know, but he did it. But he did it on video.
Let's do an experiment. See if you could find.
But I'm just saying, like,
How much are you willing to get fined?
Fuck Kent Bazemore. Like, the fireworks was only 5 minutes. It should have been 10 minutes at his wedding. It should have been 10 minutes at his wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jason Kidd, my guy, played with him for 7 years. Fuck Jason Kidd.
There you go.
What I'm just saying that is, like, I saw a GoFundMe page. Like, you will probably say, fuck Danny Ainge. You can't get fined. I can get fined.
I would say fuck Danny Ainge in a second.
But I just don't understand how, like, so if you're going to fine him, right, for saying, like, kind of speaking his view, like, we are, like, first of all, you have a right to free speech, right? And it's not inflammatory. Like, you are just basically viewing your opinions. Like, you can say I fucking hate this person is worse than saying fuck that person, right? To me. So it's like if I were to just go down and say, you know what? Fuck Channing Frye.
Yeah, right? You mean that.
Oh, I definitely mean that. Like, everyone knows that there is no LOL after that. So it's like, you know, I'm just telling you, like, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? No, actually, I don't have your back. Fuck Joel Embiid.
Right now you're up to 20 G's.
Yeah. No. He's past that. He's 25.
They got by 10, so we're at like 40, 50. So
I think it's more of an example. Okay. Because you have to remember that you guys are these gods to a lot of little kids. So they're listening to you, they're mimicking you, they're doing everything you're doing. If they're seeing that you guys are treating each other like that in such a public forum, then
where is the line?
But like, where is the line, Alex? Our president of the United States, and I am not here to say this way or that way, like, vote for whoever you want, do whoever you want, but our president of the United States is not the nicest person in the world. Like, there's all these anti-bullying campaigns, and he is the number one bully. Now, whatever. I'm not anti-Donald Trump. I am not for Donald Trump. I think that the president just overall is a figurehead. I think it's kind of like a queen or a king. Like, you're not really, what really, and it's a puppet. Like, what are you really doing? Great puppet, like, no strings attached, in sync moment you're having over there. But I'm just saying, it's like, you can say these things now, and like a guy like Joel Embiid will get fined $10,000. There was the dress code. Like, you talked about how, like, you got fined a couple thousand because a little shirt got exposed. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I just didn't know what would happen, because I don't know if this
but
is
here's
social
the thing.
Media.
If LeBron and Draymond are going at it,
fuck Draymond.
Do they exactly? Do they get fined even though they're friends and they're just having fun? But Joel Embiid, who's having fun with LeVar Ball,
you know,
gets fined.
Never, that's one thing I can never understand. Like, when I got in the league, you didn't have any friends on other teams unless
that's
you went to college with them. But I know that's all due to AAU and more
different.
Travel and stuff. Like, I'm like, I only friends I had were the guys I played with in college and the guys I had on my team. Well, I'm like, I don't want friends, you know.
But so when you left the team, you wouldn't stay friends with anybody?
Yes. Then I would be your friend, but
okay.
I'm not going
to
be friends
with
guys
how about
in
this,
New Jersey.
But how about this, Rob? So in 2011, I played 2011, 2012, I played with the Warriors. So that was the first year that they made the playoffs. So I played with Harrison. He was a rookie. I played with Clay. He was a rookie. I played with Draymond. He was a rookie. And I was there with Steph. So I was there with that whole kind of crew of guys. Played with Bogut multiple times. Mm-hmm. We played together in Golden State and in Milwaukee.
And
so, so I'm just saying, so then I like I see all these guys at a wedding this weekend at Kent Bazemore. And so it's like people are like, oh, Richard Jefferson's hanging out the Warriors. It's like, look, I was with these guys before I was with the Cavs. So like
see,
that's
where, cool. That, I understand. That's cool.
But even then, fuck Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? I even like that song. Downloaded it. My son sings it. We're going to do a karaoke night next week down here in the Red Cup Lounge if anybody would like to come. But I just don't know where that goes. So Joel, if you want to cut this five-minute clip and put it out to the NBA and be like, hey, how can he say this and I get fined? And not get fined. Maybe is our podcast.
You have to put like explicit on the podcast. You have to warn.
We don't
it.
Have explicit on podcast. So.
But that's how you can get away with it, and not get fined. So it tells kids.
You don't know that.
Careful.
You don't know what.
You don't know what they're gonna do.
New York is thinking about. I'm playing.
Well, I had Rod Thorne. Rod Thorne, who was big part of like the suspensions and like the policing of the NBA. He drafted me. So I see Steph. I see Steph at the wedding this weekend, and we're laughing and joking, and we're talking. We were smoking cigars. And he was like, we were talking back and forth about just the game. And he was like, I was like, oh, yeah, my goal was to fuck you up every single time, right? Anytime you walk by me, I was trying to fuck you up. And he was like, yeah. He was like, I was so pissed off. He's like, you don't understand, Richard. You're the reason why I threw my mouthpiece. And I was like, what? Because he was like, that shit fucking hurt. And you going to call these fucking mouth? Because it was like, so one time, like, coach was like, Richard, you need to be on the nail, right? Yeah. So we're watching film, and coach is like, Richard, you need to be on the nail to stop this drive. And I was like, coach, well, I saw Steph going by me, so I kind of moved away so I can hip check him. So coach sees it on film. He's like, okay, well, that's okay. That's fine. But next time, if Steph's not there, make sure you're on the nail.
Steph.
And Steph was like, you're the...
That was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Steph
really
was like, you're
deal.
The reason why I got ejected. Because we were laughing. And this was the
Did
first time...
Did he get ejected?
He, remember, he had already...
I remember he threw his mouth.
No, he got fouled. Yeah. He fouled out. Uh-huh. Right? He fouled out. And but then on the foul out, he got a technical and okay. threw his mouthpiece
he was
because
pissed.
He was so pissed off. And he told me to at the wedding, he was like, you're the reason why I got fucking ejected because like that shit hurt for like 2 hours.
RJ, I have an idea.
What?
Road tripping. Tons of fans, which I found out.
Yes.
We have like 20 countries where only one fan in each country.
Yeah.
But there's hundreds of thousands of downloads. A lot of people on Twitter. The at Road Tripping Twitter. By the way, my Twitter even got some bump up when you said at Gita3. At Gita3, by the way. So I think everyone that listens should just say,
holla at your boy.
Boom, and say whoever you want. You got someone in your life.
Oh, you're starting a hashtag.
Fuck
that
person.
Hashtag
fuck
that person.
Do it for road tripping.
And
you can say,
and you're not getting fined.
You're not going to get fined. You can say it. Tag road tripping. Just say,
holla at your boy.
Fuck that person. It could be Dairy Queen. Maybe they didn't put enough like. I don't know, Oreos in your Blizzard, whatever it is. Like, tag us. We don't care because at the end of the day, we believe in free speech. We believe in saying the shit that you have to say.
Just don't do the NWA version. Do not say that.
Oh, No. We're not going to say,
holla at your boy.
The police. Like, we're not that.
No, we're not
that,
NWA.
No, like, the Black Lives Matter. Like, we're going to keep that separate. This is a little bit more lighthearted. That's more political. We want to keep it there.
Man, I say,
holla at your boy,
Geeter, man.
Yeah, he don't get no more shows. Holla at your boy.
Robert Ory.
Geeter don't get. Holla at your boy.
Alex Curry.
I get like,
holla at your boy.
Deucer Mike.
Holla at your boy.
You, bring I want to be the host. Bring it up.
Do you really want to be the host?
Yeah,
hey, do you want to be the host?
No, one time they made, when Geeter was, he missed the show, and all of a sudden he was supposed to say something. Shut up, Geeter, I'm doing this. Geeter was like, what the hell going on? Is
yeah,
he
they had it
over?
All planned. By the way, when I give Rob's intro to the show.
Yeah.
Big Game, the Hall of Famer. But when I say seven-time champion, Big Game's always like, damn, why you got to say that? Like, it just hurts everyone on that.
Yeah, it hurts him so bad.
But
so, yeah, no, man. Rob, man, I just wanted to say thank you for coming by and doing this, man. I really, truly believe
pleasure,
that this
man.
Platform, man, and what we've kind of established, Channing, myself, Ali, Rafa, and then Alex and Geeter and even Mike, you know, contributing, I think this is something that's really positive.
You know what, I really wish Channing was here since they compare so much, you know.
Oh, like, yeah. You're much better than Channing. much better than Channing.
We both tall, light-skinned. Yeah. We both went to U of A, you know.
Yeah.
One was a fake, one was a real one, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying.
We have so many comparisons for so long.
And Channing doesn't listen to the podcast, so he won't hear that. But I just want to tell you, man, as a player that's trying to do something, whenever other players support that cause, man, it means a lot.
Only because I like you.
Man, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And again, I hope you had a good time.
I had a good time.
You know what I'm saying? I would love to have you back on because I will guarantee you this. Like, even Tim, when Tim came on the podcast and he talked about his daughter being born and he named her Quill from Peter Quill, Guardians of the Galaxy, because he's a big nerd. Yeah. He's a huge nerd. Best nerd. Him and Channing were in the same World of Warcraft guild. But I'm saying, this is going to escalate quite quickly, right? This is going to get out to places. And you're going to be like, wow, I didn't think that many people listened. And not that many people do listen. But the people that do listen all of a sudden want to talk shit about it.
You know, it's just like a snowball effect. It just started. Just like when I said, you know, Dream was 20 times better than Tim Duncan.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Now I can't go back to San Antonio. You know, I feel like if I roll through there, I'm going to get, you know, castrated, you know, something crazy like that. But, you know,
that's
a good thing about this world.
But look,
everybody got their own opinions.
We have one listener.
We have a listener in Libya. One was in Honduras. Two in Nepal.
These are all one listener.
Viva Nepal. Viva Nepal.
I have all these damn Nepalesian coins.
So who are you going to shout out to?
By the way, the big one that Rich and I saw was great. We have 20 in Madagascar.
What? Shout out to Madagascar!
I literally love that movie.
Do we have 13 in Nam?
I like the move it, move it.
I like the move it. Six in Iraq.
Six.
Shout out to all the men and women that
men and women
our
troops. But we don't know if it's the troops.
Have you ever done a USO tour?
I have not done a USO tour.
That's one of the most amazing trips I ever did. I had the pleasure of traveling with General Dempsey, Flannel, Air Force Two. One of my favorite pictures is I made everybody stay on the plane, and I came off like this. Like I was the president.
I got to see that.
Nixon. I came out of the president. And you can see the security guards down at the bottom like this. Your president has landed.
Can I say this?
Last
because
thing,
we're doing
last
some ball washing.
Yeah.
Can I say, honest to God, when I asked Rob to do this, and I just gave him a quick little tidbit about road tripping, he said, yeah, just let me know when. I mean, listen, he drives an hour and a half to get here. He's been a phenomenal friend. And what he's talking about doing that trip, that Rob, whoever knows Rob knows, he literally has the biggest heart of everyone. So for you to be able to come on and have some fun and tell those stories and actually get to tell the whole story, phenomenal.
But
Rob should be in the Hall of Fame. Rob Ory should be in the Hall of Fame. He's
100%.
You know what people do? I hate, though. People always look at what they see on TV and how you react on the court, and they judge you by what they see. I know image is a lot, but I said, don't you say, if you ever watched me when I play, I always was laughing, I joking, I had a good time, but I knew when to play hard and, you know, do what I need to do. So, but I tell people, I had so many people come to me and say, I always thought you was an asshole.
Yeah.
But you're a nice guy. I said, yeah, because sometimes you got to be an asshole when you're playing a sport.
Yeah. One of the nicest guys I've ever been.
It is. But it's the same thing with me in the sense that, like, people always thought that I was super straight-laced, super serious. They thought I was Shane Battier. They thought I was this kind of, like, they thought I should have gone to Duke. I was this boring. But people didn't know that I was really just a full-blown smart-ass and asshole. And they only found that out from doing the podcast with my personality able to come out. They're like, Richard, I never would have thought. And so, look, man, again, Geeter's given his love for, you know, you. And again, the same thing. If you ever want to come on again. And I promise you, you're going to have to come on again after this gets out. It's going to be awesome. We would love to have you. But
we ain't going to Glendale.
We'll meet you in downtown. We'll meet you in halfway. We'll meet you in downtown
Maybe
LA.
We'll meet you at work.
We'll do Soho yoga and then we'll record downtown.
I haven't been yet.
Oh, we'll definitely do it.
Hey, Rob's ass is getting lost on the way home, too.
So, again, for Geeter.
I know I'm going now.
I
know I'm going. You just gave me bad directions.
At Geeter 3.
At Geeter 3.
I just got to give a big thank you because obviously I'm not in the basketball world. I'm in the baseball world, the hockey world, the football, the Ninja Warriors. So, just to sit here and to like be front row to these stories that not many people have heard is truly incredible. I mean, I was over here with this a huge smile on my face.
And not many people
have
a
smile. I'm like, I can't believe I'm hearing this. Yeah. I am staring.
And you also
right.
had the two best questions. So
he always like story time with Rob.
Story time with Rob is my favorite.
This was incredible.
Yeah. So for Chris McGee, for Alex Curry, for producer Mike, for Big Shot Bob / Rob, I just want to thank you guys for listening. I'm Richard Jefferson. This is Summer Road Tripping. Allie, Channing, we miss you. Rafa, can't wait to see you soon. And guys, we are out.
We have a listener in Libya. One was in Honduras. Two in Nepal.
These are all one listener.
Viva Nepal. Viva Nepal.
I have all these damn Nepalese coins.
So who are you going to shout out to?
By the way, the big one that Rich and I saw was great. We have 20 in Madagascar.
What? Shout out to Madagascar.
I literally love that movie.
Do we have 13 in Nam?
I like the move it.